We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr, touchdown, yes! Detroit Lions. TJ Hockenson, yes! They did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to not a Wednesday night, but a Thursday night special Twitter Spaces live edition of the NFL schedule release. We have the official Detroit Lions schedule release. The official schedule just got released about just a couple minutes ago. I mean, we've had the leaks, but we just got confirmed that these are absolutely all correct. We're going to break down the schedule. Not necessarily any predictions for any of these games, but we're going to just break down the schedule, where the Lions are starting, if they have any primetime games, just where they're playing, how it looks, where their bye week is. We're going to break down essentially everything, what the schedule looks like. It has been confirmed that this is the official Lions schedule. So with that being said, boys, how you guys doing? Pierre, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. Enjoying this weather. It's been really nice out lately. How you guys doing?
I'm loving it, man. Malcolm, how you doing, man?
Whoa, how you doing, bro? I am here. I am loving everything right now, man. I'm feeling the schedule. Feeling everything right now. I'm good, man. How you doing, bro?
I was just going to ask, before we get into the schedule, like, what's your guys' thoughts on this day? Like, are you guys a fan of the NFL schedule release day, or is this just kind of another day for you?
No, it's not like – I don't really care. I just want to see when our bye week is. We play on Thanksgiving, honestly. I don't really like –
I mean, pretty much, like, everything gets leaked out during the day, so it's, like, it's weird. Like, it's supposed to be, like, isn't supposed to be, like, officially, like,
it's supposed to be, like,
today.
Right now, yeah.
It's supposed to be, like, it's supposed to be released, but, like, all the teams know who they're playing.
Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, so what's your thoughts on this day in general, though? Do you like this day, or do you just, like, don't care?
I just want to see who the hell we play, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, like for me, like, I really don't care all that much. I'm kind of like Pierre, because, like, I already know the opponents for the next, like, eternity. We know every opponent we're going to play essentially outside of the 17th game now, just because that's just how the NFL is with how they make their schedule every year. So, I mean, it's not really a special day for me in particular. I kind of just look for special things, like Pierre said, maybe a bye week. Maybe if we have some national TV games, who are Thanksgiving opponents with being a Lions fan, because we get a Thanksgiving game every year. But then other than that, it's like, okay, how many cold games do we have? And that's something else I look into. So let's just get right into it. But again, I'm not as big into the NFL schedule release, I think, as other people are. But, you know, I get it. It's cool. You get to see maybe if you're if you're a fan of a team and they're playing in your home city, maybe you're looking forward to that. I know Malcolm's like in Miami when they play the Lions, you know, the Dolphins playing Detroit, he probably looks for those. Well, when does Lions are going to come to Miami? So I guess I could see the, you know, the interest in that, but let's get right to it. So week one, the Lions are starting off at home. This is now 3 years in a row they're starting off at home, and they're starting off against the Philadelphia Eagles. Any thoughts and reactions to the Lions starting the season versus the Eagles at home?
Yeah, so last year the Lions got like their asses kicked by the Eagles, and I remember Aaron Glenn, he buried the tape of that game. You guys remember when he literally said that? He said he buried the tape of the game. So I think they're going to be fired up, and they're probably going to have that like that score probably blown up on the screens and shit. They're like, look what they did to us. We're not going to let this happen again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. The Eagles actually improved a lot, though, like on paper. We'll see how they look on the field. But on paper, they've improved. They added A.J. Brown, one of the best receivers in the league. They had a really good draft. Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. They have one of the best O-lines in football, great running game. I think their defense has, like, you know, still some question marks.
Yeah. I mean, what's your guys' thoughts before looking at the Eagles in particular, but just looking overall at this schedule, what's your guys' thoughts on it? I know it's kind of tough to predict how these teams are going to look, but what's your guys' thoughts? Do you guys like how it's constructed? Do you think the Lions could have a fighter chance going into December?
I wish the bye week was a little later. Bye week is week 6. I wish it was like week 8 or week 9. When you look at the schedule, though, it's not like where you have a million hard games in a row and easy games. It's kind of a mixture. Like, there's some easy games in there mixed with some hard games. I like it. I do think, like, if they could stay healthy, they do have a chance. Like, for example, Tyler, look at week 15 at the Jets. Week 15 at Jets, week 16 at Panthers, week 17 Chicago, week 18 at Green Bay.
Yeah.
That's kind of a tough, the last four games, because you're away three times and home once.
I was just going to say that. They gave this team a lot of home games to start off the season in, like, September and early October. You got a lot of home games. You're only playing two road games before your bye week. Four out of your six games are home. So you do have some road games, and that is going to be in December. And I'm looking at it right now. There are potentially five cold games in play for the Lions. Depending on what the weather is in Chicago week 10 and New York in week 11, that's right before Thanksgiving. So that's in that middle, late November. So that could be cold, definitely. And then, like Peter mentioned, you look at the end of the season, you're going back to New York to play the Jets, going to North Carolina to play the Panthers, and then playing the Lambeau Field in early January. I mean, there are some cold games here, so that could be a plus or that could be a minus. I mean, for this team, that could honestly almost be a plus because their style of football, that could be a plus because their team that they are constructed to build, you know, they're a team that's kind of meant to be playing in the cold. They're a gritty team, a team that relies on their offensive line, a team that likes to run the ball. So that could maybe be an advantage for this team going to December football, potentially. I'm just looking at it early on right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I like – you know what? I'm not too worried about the bye too much. I mean, I know it's kind of early. It's week 6. But I like the way it's set up. I like the way it's set up. I think week 1 is going to be a really big measuring stick on where the Lions are. Okay, I think Philadelphia, I think they're a really good football team. I think this year they're much improved. I know everybody talking about last year and, you know – We were hurt and this and that. They beat us down, and they're a lot better this year. So I think that's going to be a really big measuring stick as far as if this team needs work or if the Lions are legit. Imagine if the Lions go out to Philadelphia or, you know, Philadelphia come to Detroit and the Detroit Lions blow them out. What's that going to say about the Lions? You know, that's going to be something huge. You know, that's going to say, you know, wait, you know, maybe this football team is a lot better than we think it is. So I think that game's going to be huge.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily the measuring stick because week one, like a lot of crazy stuff happens in week one. Yep. Maybe the measuring stick's more like in week four, week five, you kind of have an idea of what your team is because the first few weeks, like guys are a little rusty. You know, some teams like don't really have an identity yet and all that. I think once you get more into like week four, week five, week six, you kind of know what you are.
Yeah, what I mean by that is because, you know, I think Philadelphia is a really good football team. I think they're a good football team on both sides of the ball. So I think like it'll be better like for example, we're playing against the Bears and we beat the Bears. Everybody's like, oh, you know, the Bears are just the Bears. You know, that doesn't hold that much weight. But I think if we beat a Philadelphia Eagle week one, I think it shows promise for this team.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And for all you bettors out there, Philly has opened as 4-point favorites.
Whoever's touching the betting lines this early on to the process, yeah, you are psycho.
Tyler, you didn't put 100 on that? I thought you put 100 on that.
Absolutely not. We go day by day. Malcolm knows the rules. We go day by day.
Hell no. Yeah, your whole team could be hurt, bro. You could be playing with no quarterback, nobody. Hell, Dan Campbell might have to go out there and put on some pads.
Play some tight end.
Never know. But, you know, you look at the first part of this bye week, I think that's a very big telling on how this season could go for you. Not necessarily, you know, maybe not division-wise, like how you can come in the division, but, like, as far as maybe you have a chance in December to just be in the hunt, be in the picture that Fox or CBS displays in the hunt. I think that those six games is a very big telling on how the season could go, honestly, because you start off with two home games. You have a division game week three, play versus Seattle week four, that's building team, and then week five at New England. That could be a tough game, but again, I mean, looking early on right now, we don't know how that team is going to be. I think looking at these first six games, not trying to make any predictions, but if the Lions could go maybe 500 or 4-2, you're giving yourself maybe a shot to do something come later on the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just a fun fact. So this was actually reported today. Some Patriots beat writer said either Matt Patricia or Joe Judge will be calling the offense.
I know. That is absolutely crazy to think that Matt Patricia, the defensive guru, could be on the offense side of the ball now. And wow, I mean, we're going to see him. We're going to see him in Foxborough this year. And
we're going to see
week five.
Run, pass. You know, run, pass. And if it's third and long, they're going to run the ball.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean 4-2. I meant 4-1 because it's five games. Sorry. But you got my point. You have a legitimate shot to maybe make some noise in these first 6 weeks. It's going to be a big telling on maybe how the season can go. But then after that bye week, again, I mean, you got some tough games. I mean, you're playing Dallas. That's a tough environment to play in. Miami, they're a revamped team. And then you play another division team like Green Bay. I don't know. The schedule doesn't look too bad looking really early on right now. Like, I think – I'm not saying the Lions are a playoff team, but I could see this team being in the hunt in December. I could see with the schedule, how it's constructed, I could see this team being in the hunt in December.
So kind of like the Eagles were last year, like 7-8 wins, 7-9 exactly. wins, something like that.
Yeah, I could see them being in the, you know, I think.
Like 8-7 or 9-8 or whatever, or 7-10.
That's kind of where I have them right now. I said anywhere from 6-9 wins this year. I know that's a kind of a broad number, but anywhere from that range, I could see the Lions being this year with just how the schedule's constructed.
Yeah, that's what I have too, honestly. 6-9 wins. I think that's pretty fair. I'm looking at one thing that's kind of like, it's kind of tough. So week 10, you're at Chicago. Week 11, you're at New York. And then from New York, you have a short week playing Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's going to be tiring. That's going to be a tough hopefully they'll be healthy during that week, because if we have some injuries, those guys will probably be out. You got two away games, and then you play on a short week at home.
And two cold games, too, potentially. New York and Chicago, outdoors.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there, but
it's kind of similar to last year. They had, I think, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and then they had their Thanksgiving game versus Chicago. So that was – we know those games. They were very cold, very shitty weather-wise, and they played the Bears at home on Thanksgiving, which, you know, they ended up losing the game ultimately. But I don't know.
I have a question for you guys. So, like, a lot of people were, like, upset we got the Bills. We're going to get our ass kicked on national television, whatever. I'm actually excited. We get to play Josh Allen on national TV, and if we could upset him on national Tv, that would be awesome.
That's a big if. That's a big, if. That's a huge if. Huge if.
I don't know who's going to be in or out, obviously. It's too early to talk about it, but let's just assume, like, the way the rosters are now. You never know, man.
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible. Any given Sunday, man, or in this case, any given Thursday.
Right.
I mean, it's cool. I like it. I said before the season, when we were preparing for the schedule drop, I would want to see either a division game like usual, or give me one of those AFC teams that are going to come in town. Not Jacksonville, but Buffalo or Miami. Give me one of those two, or a division game on Thanksgiving, and I got that. When I saw that fake account that ultimately ended up being fake, which I didn't believe in the first ball, but a lot of people were retweeting and liking the stuff.
Just say my name, goddammit.
Yeah, you said Lions Bears week one. But the guy released or leaked Commanders Lions Thanksgiving. I'm like, there's no shot the NFL is putting this on Thanksgiving. There's just no shot they're doing this. So to see Lions Bills be confirmed, I think that makes a lot more sense as far as NFL standard wise, ratings wise, and it should be a solid game overall.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Detroit Lions could make this somewhat of a game on Thanksgiving, I mean, it'll be good. Just hopefully it's not like a blowout.
That's what I'm just hoping. That'd be embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm tired of getting embarrassed on national TV, you know. So if it's a close game and we lose, it is what it is. If we pull the upset, that's going to be huge for the Lions. But if they get blown out on national TV, it's going to be like, you're going to hear that conversation. It's like, oh, the Lions lose again on Thanksgiving. Why are they here on Thanksgiving? Like, can't they replace them on Thanksgiving? You're like, you keep hearing it. It's like, yo, shut up.
Yeah. I believe under Caldwell, they never lost on Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken, under Caldwell.
They lost in 2017, I think, Pierre.
So they lost one game. Okay, who was that against?
Minnesota. The game I think they never lost.
Why Tyler, why do you remember this? Why do you remember this, goddammit? Why?
No, yeah, you are right. But I'm saying, like, we had more success with Caldwell during Thanksgiving games. Obviously, the Campbell era doesn't, like, last year's whatever. You're kind of rebuilding or whatever.
When's our last Thanksgiving win? 2016?
I'm going to skip past the fact that Tyler knows this answer.
Was that 2017, Pierre? Am I right there? Was that Vikings game 2017?
I don't remember, Tyler. I don't have your memory.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that was.
I don't remember who we played in 2017 on Thanksgiving.
Me too.
I think it was the Vikings. I think I'll look it up. I'll confirm. But I think it was the Vikings game where we all thought Nevin Lawson got a blocked field goal and he scored a touchdown. And
started going crazy.
And we all started going crazy, all for it to come back, and we lost the game ultimately.
Yeah. You guys want to bring up some speakers?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna look it up while you guys do that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yo.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, players? You guys are... Pierre, you cracked me up when you said that. Talking about Buffalo, we could upset them, man. They're going to whip our ass, man. Come on.
I wouldn't say... I mean, you never know, bro. Like...
Nah.
Obviously, Buffalo, in my opinion right now, is the best team in the league,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, like, you never know what could happen. And also, like, there could be injuries and other stuff. We just don't know. It's way too early to, like, talk about the matchup.
It is, but they just got the best player in the league, you know? I mean, he's so clear.
I could confirm, too.
Yeah, he's clear.
2017. Go ahead, that was 2017 Thanksgiving. Sorry.
Yeah,
I just want to confirm that.
Yeah. All right, that's impressive.
You know what, though? I look at the schedule, and I see 9 wins. Am I crazy?
No, that's kind of what I have a maxed at, like, 6-9. I could see that if they stay healthy, you know, if they pull out a win like they're not supposed to get.
I think we split with Minnesota and Chicago. I think we split with Green Bay. I think Green Bay is going to really struggle without Adams. And they're relying way too much on young wide receivers, which is a huge part of their offense.
You got to remember, though, with Green Bay, they got those two running backs, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. And then their defense is really good. I think they're going to rely on their running game and defense and all that.
Correct.
Get their pass. It's still Aaron Rodgers, bro. It's still Aaron Rodgers.
Listen, they're up there. But what I'm saying is, you know, you think Jacksonville, that's an easily winnable game. Seattle's a winnable game. Washington's a winnable game. You know, Miami is going to be a winnable game. I think that that team is we get them early enough to where they haven't completely gelled. New England, I think, is a winnable game. You know, like there's a lot of them that are in here. Carolina, I think it's a winnable game. The Jets, winnable game. There's the Giants, winnable game. You know, they it's breaking right for them. You know what I mean? Like there's only a handful of these games where you can probably say they're significant underdogs. But I think, like, if Goff plays the way he played the last six games and we get Jameson Williams back quicker than we think and we get our offensive line to stay healthy for one fucking year, I mean, this is going to be, you know, this. I mean, you got to remember, guys, we had so many injuries last year. So many. I mean, how many did we finish off with IR? Do you guys remember? Was it like 13 players on IR?
Don't know the exact number, but it was something crazy. And especially you had to factor in with COVID, too. Some games they had the COVID outbreak, like when they played Denver, and I think Minnesota was one of them. So that was also in play. But, yeah, injuries, COVID, it was crazy last year.
The first 10 games, I can easily see them winning 5, easily. And I think that you take those away – I think Philly's a winnable game. Getting Philly early, I think, is a very winnable game, too.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So, like, getting Philly later in the season when they've gelled with A.J. Brown and a few other things, that's probably harder. But, I mean, I think Detroit's going to – I think they're going to have a nice second. If you look from week 13 on, take a look at week 13 on after Thanksgiving. Tell me one game that you see there that you think outside of at Green Bay that they're probably not – closely favored or very close, pick them, like 3.
I would assume by the betting lines, they're going to be pretty much split for all those games, I would assume.
Exactly.
Like, I think they'll be pretty close. Yeah, it's going to be pretty much 50-50. You know, I think they're going to be all pretty close games. And I was just saying that the December schedule, I think, almost kind of favors the Lions' style of football. I mean, the Lions' style of football that they want to run, not saying that they're this team yet, but the style of football they want to run, they play like a playoff team. They play like the teams you want in the playoffs. A team that's gritty, a team that's going to run the ball well, a team that has a good offensive line. I mean, they have the playoff mindset. I'm not saying they're there yet necessarily, but they have the mindset of being a playoff team. Those are the teams that are usually the most scary in the playoffs, the teams that could rely on their offensive line, teams that can rely on their run game. And having these cold games in December, you're kind of going into the Lions – style of play.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, and I'll dip, and I'll let you guys talk about it. But when you think about it, what's the biggest thing that needs to happen for this team to win 9 games? My opinion, and like I said, I'll listen to you guys. I'll let someone else sit up here. My opinion, it all rests on the shoulders of Jared Goff. If Jared Goff can be a top 15, 12, 13 starter, I think we easily win 9 games. I think if he plays like he did the first 10 games last year, we're probably winning 4, maybe 5.
I'd say staying healthy. That's the number one thing to get 9, 10, 11 wins, whatever it is. Staying healthy and then also having your young guys play to their potential. Like Levi improves this year. Hutch like has a great year for JMO plays. Like you need everything to go right almost like to have like a 10, 11 win season, right?
I think health is the main key. It's health. I'm expecting Jared Goff. I don't think we're going to see that first 10, 12, 13 games of Jared Goff that we seen last year. I don't think we're going to see that Jared Goff because Anthony Lynn is not here anymore. I think Anthony Lynn was a big part of the reason why Jared Goff was playing that way. Now that he has Ben Johnson for the whole year, I'm expecting Jared Goff to play solid football. So I don't think he's like the key. I'm expecting him to play football. I think it's injuries.
Yeah.
And I'll also say one thing. If we have a breakout person, like one of these guys who we drafted late and have like an Amon-Ra St. Brown effect, like say if Malcolm Rodriguez come out and becomes a star. You know, he comes out, because he's our starter and he just balls the hell out, you know. I think that could elevate this team and they could win, they could exceed that 9 wins. If we just have one of those breakout guys at the end of our draft.
Let me ask you this one quick thing, and I'll let somebody else. Which has a better chance of being a top 5 unit the wide receiving core or the defensive line?
Wide receivers.
I would go wide receivers as well. I think the uncertainty of Jameson Williams, his capability of could be the wide receiver one of the class, and the trust I have in the guy, I would go wide receiving core.
Yeah, wide receiving core, man. They have a lot of speed out there this year, man. I love
Don't sleep on Cephas, too. Do not sleep on Cephas. Everybody forgets about Cephas.
I bring him up all the time, man. Cephas is the underdog, man.
He's in an interesting spot right now, honestly. I wouldn't even say he's a lock to make this roster right now. I really don't think he's a lock.
Come on.
Okay, here, let's think about it. You got...
He's the fourth best.
You got Jameson Williams. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown. Those are locks.
Reynolds signed like $3 million guaranteed or something like that. That's a lock.
You resign. Who'd you say, Pierre?
Reynolds. Oh, those guys are locks.
You got Chark. You got Reynolds. I mean, okay. Where are you putting him? You putting him at five? You also got Khalif Raymond too.
I forgot about freaking Reynolds, man. Shit.
I think it's between Reynolds and Cephas right now. I don't know if both guys make the team right now. If I'm going to predict this,
six. Majority of the teams last year carried six wide receivers.
They could.
Well, he'd be fifth. He'd be fifth. Cephas fifth. Who are we leaving out? Hodge.
Hodge's not even on the team anymore. But
not Hodge. I mean, a small little shifty guy. What's his name again?
Khalif Raymond.
Kennedy.
Khalif Raymond.
Khalif Raymond.
I think it's between him and. I don't think they're going to carry six. Pierre. I think that's a lot. For this team.
Well, because you got to remember, Jameson could be hurt. Chark has dealt with injury issues in his career. You need depth.
Now, if you want to get rid of Khalif Raymond, who's going to be your returner?
You also have, like, competition in other spots, right? They signed some running back.
And you're going to keep three tight ends because last year they got screwed by not keeping three tight ends, and they would always rotate these practice squad players. So I think they're going to keep three tight ends. There's no way you're going to keep three tight ends and six receivers. That's unheard of.
And if you do that, though, I'm saying, but what's the role for Cephas at that point? Or Reynolds? One of them has to be inactive, probably, on game day.
Well, it depends, if J-Mo starts on NFI or PUP or whatever. PUP, not NFI, yeah. PUP.
Yeah, that could happen. But I'm saying
I don't like saying this, but during camp, there's always injuries. Every team gets injuries, and I know it sucks, but it's always good to have depth, and then someone gets hurt, for example, you have depth, right? Like, you trust Cephas as a wide receiver 3-4 if needed for, like, a few games, right?
I agree.
So,
yeah.
Love you guys, man. I'll let you guys let me bounce, but love what you guys are doing, man. Keep it up.
Thanks, Mike.
Get it.
Yeah. Right. No, I think if we're just assuming a healthy wide receiver core, which, like Peter said, that probably is never going to happen, but if you do have fully healthy receivers, I think that's an interesting question.
Yeah. What's going on?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm a little tired. Just got off the work, man. But I was excited for the schedule release.
Sure.
Hey, man. I'm not hating it, bro. I'm liking what they did. I'm liking the, couple home games back to back, couple of away games back to back. I like the diversity of it. I like what they, what they put together. I'm excited about that Buffalo Thanksgiving game. I mean, just for the reason that, like, I like it, I like the hard game, put us on the spot, put them on the hot seat. I want to see what they can do under pressure. And, depending on what that does to them, we're going to see whether these guys are going to be able to make it up in the future or they might shock us and pull it out then, right then.
I'm with you, Sensei. I love challenges, especially on national TV, man. If you could shock the world, because everyone's expecting a blowout, right? But if you could make it a competitive game or shock the world somehow,
That's what we've done in the past is right. make the teams fight for the win. We've done that so many times in the past. Like that one game that we lost against Kansas City, and we were just coming out from behind, just punching them, landing blows, and we were keeping the score tight. In the end, we lost the game, but hey, they had to fucking fight for that win. You know what I mean?
And the NFL's intentions with this game. They want Josh Allen to flourish on national TV. They want Josh Allen to embarrass the Lions on national TV.
Oh.
And now the Lions have an opportunity here to change the narrative and change the script and be like, oh, maybe the Buffalo won the game, but hey, look at these Lions. They went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in football. And when you're in this position with the Lions, you're okay with the moral victory at this point of the rebuild. Not that you necessarily are going to aim for that. You're never going to target for moral victories. But if you go toe-to-toe with the Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving, I'll absolutely be, satisfied with the team. Just
even if it's a field goal loss, exactly. I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, I agree with you. And
honestly, it depends how they lose it, if they lose it, or if they do some stupid – It's too early to talk
about it. It's way too early to talk about it. But like,
I just don't want to see the meme. I just don't want to see the Brian from Family Guy meme, bro. Every time I see that meme.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, bro. But I don't know. I'm excited about the schedule. I love that Miami game. I live all the way out in California, and I'm trying to take my dad to a Lions game this year for Father's Day as a gift. But I'm just trying to see which home game I want to go to, man, whether it's Seattle, whether it's Miami, or Jacksonville even. I don't know, one of those three, but I'm excited, man. It's going to be a fucking crazy season. And what everybody dogs on me for being a Lions fan here in Cali. But I mean, the thing is, it's just like I remind everybody, I'm like, it's a completely different team now. You know, the narrative has definitely changed there in Detroit, and you know, it's something to look forward to. Whether it fails catastrophically or it flourishes surprisingly, it's going to be exciting to watch, and that's what I tell everybody all the time.
What part of Cali are you from?
I'm from Pasadena, home of the Rose Bowl.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I got. I was gonna say, did you attend the LA game last year when the Lions went?
I couldn't get the day off, man. I was in the police academy at the time. I graduated, and now I'm a full-blown cop. So, like, I have the ability to request that time off. But at that point, I was in, like, the peak of the police academy.
Okay. Nice. Okay. But yeah, I mean, you don't feel bad, man. I live in South Florida, and I'm a Lions fan, so I feel your pain.
It's cool, man. No, but I'm just like, I don't know, man. It's definitely gonna be a different season this season, and like how everybody's saying, those first 5 weeks are gonna be, you know, I don't want to say it's gonna be the, how do I say it? Like, it's not gonna be like the foreshadowing to what type of season we're gonna have. I don't think we're gonna see that till way later. But those first 5 weeks are definitely going to be interesting. You know, it's just because everybody's getting back into it. You know, season's just started. Everybody's finding their roles. You know, everybody has different assignments at that point, and those assignments will change later on in the season. So it's just like, we're going to see them roughing out the edges there. And whether those, we come out with, you know, 3-2 or 2-3, or we go, you know, or we would have, God forbid, 1-4. Like, I mean, I don't know, but we're going to see, you know, a stronger team further down the stretch. I love that early bye, so that way they can get in and be like, all right, what's going right? What's going wrong? Let's, you know, capitalize on that and then move along forward. I love that early bye.
Okay.
I really hope we don't start 1-4.
Oh, no, obviously you don't want that. Like, I've seen so many tweets of somebody saying that Philadelphia lost, Washington lost, Minnesota lost, and then finally win in Seattle and lose against New England. And I'm like, I don't know.
I honestly think they have a shot to go maybe 3-2 with that first half of the schedule.
I think 3-2 would be very ideal. Obviously, 5-0 is always the goal, but I think I think 3-2 would be a very, very, very good scenario.
3-2 is a good scenario, but I also call it practical. I don't see it that much of an issue. Like, I mean, honestly, like, they just got to be able to get things going, man. Like, I think Jared Goff, all he has to do is just, you know, pass the ball around, bro. Like, spread the ball evenly between, you know, you got Hockenson at tight end, you got so many receivers, we're stacked at receiver, we have, you know, Williams and Swift back there in the backfield, and it's just like, if we can spread that ball evenly, keep the defense guessing, keep them on their heels, and spread the ball out, whether it's sideline to sideline, going deep, you know, it's just, we're gonna, you know, shock defenses, because it's just, we've never had so many weapons like this before.
I'm expecting a 3-2 that first half. If they could go 4-1, that'll be a plus. I'll be really happy to go 4-1. Hell, if they go 5-0, shoot.
we have to wait week by week, man. It's for those,
it's way too early to look that deep into it. But as far as looking at it now, I'm expecting a 3-2.
Assuming everyone's healthy and everything.
That's fair.
And then that Dallas game is gonna be a big one too. I'm really excited for that Dallas game.
Yeah,
it's in Jerry's world too. So
I'm gonna try to go to that one. We'll see though with work and everything.
Yeah. All right, Sensei. Appreciate you coming on, brother. All right, Sensei,
thanks guys. On, hey, you guys are awesome, man. I love listening.
Keep
to
supporting
the
Lions
and everything,
Cali, baby.
It's great, man. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sensei. Sensei. Right,
I'm gonna bring up Tyler.
The Sensei.
And then Tink. So let's bring up Tyler.
I mean, Foxborough.
There's two Tylers? Tyler and Tyler.
I've been talking about Foxborough, man. I want to go to Foxborough this year.
Yeah, Tyler.
Am I coming in all right? I'm in my car right now, so I don't know if I sound like
crazy. Yeah, you sound good. I hear your turn signal a little bit, but you're good.
Oh, yeah, I'm just driving home from work. I really didn't get to look at it, But just for my convenience sake, this schedule sucks, man. We have no games that start later than 1 o'clock. If I'm out late on a Saturday, I got to wake up early and watch these guys. Then I'm from New York, and Jets tickets were like $5, so cheap. So I'm like, an early September game, October, would have been perfect. It's in December 20th. Every Lions game I've gone to, it's been wet and like rainy and snowy, and it just sucks. I wish that game was earlier in the year. But
what about the Giants? You go week 11.
They like quadruple Giant tickets. It's insane. But
really?
Yeah. If it's like Jets are like 20, Giants would be 80. It's insane.
But, that's surprising me.
From what it looks it looks pretty good.
Let's go to the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I mean, man, I've been there. I hate that stadium. It's terrible, but I got to go. I got to go see a Lion. I haven't been to a game in like 5 years at least. So, I mean, it looks pretty good, though. Pretty well. I just hate that early buy. I feel like toward the end of the year, if you get gas and stuff like that, I feel like we always get screwed with that early buy, but whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is, honestly.
I'm fine with it because you can look at what you did the first quarter of the season, and you can say, all right, and then you can make your adjustments. So I'm fine with it.
I'm cool with it too. Ideally, I'd probably like it to be like week 8, week 9. Ideally, it's week 6. Like, so if it was pushed back a couple weeks, that would be like my best case scenario. But I'm kind of with you because I'm glad that they stacked up these cold games in December. I'm looking forward to see how the Lions brand of football ends up forming in December, because I think that's really their brand of football and that's what they want to do. So I think this could favor their schedule because they're not one of these pretty teams like the Chiefs or the Bills where, you know, we're going to sling the ball 60 times, 70 times in a game. They're a team that wants to run down your throat, and cold weather, that's the type of weather you do that type of stuff in. And if that's their advantage, then shit, let's play it.
I think looking at the schedule, man, they have like the schedule that they could get hot towards the end of the year. Just look at the opponents that they have here. Like, if they go, like, they beat, you know, the Jets week 15, beat Carolina, beat Chicago, and just say Green Bay already won a division, they're benching their starters, or say whatever, and they beat Green Bay. And just say we're a wild card team, that's a pretty good way to go into the wild card. If that does happen, you know, that I think they're set up nicely. I like the way they have it set up, man.
You know, one thing that I just noticed is the Lions are the only team that don't have a primetime game. Every other NFL team has at least
one. That was my one thing, too. I mean, watching in New York, man, I need those primetime games. I got to watch it on Red Zone on the GameCast. So a primetime game would have been nice. It's only that Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
That's not even really primetime. That's just...
I mean, they said that we already have enough of our prime time with the...
I mean, it's understood.
With the hard knocks.
I mean, they weren't good, right?
I was going to say they weren't good, but...
It's understandable. It's understandable. I mean, since the team that went to the Super Bowl last year only had one primetime game last year. Now I believe they have 5 going into the season. I mean,
you got to earn it.
You got to earn these games. I mean, we saw the Lions earned it at one point. It was, I want to say, what year was it? It was 2014. And then 2015, they got like a boatload of national TV games. Remember that?
And what do we do with it?
We screwed
it up. We probably lost every single primetime game that year.
No, do you remember we had a back-to-back primetime game? Remember it was
– You're really going to ask me? You're going to ask me this question if I remember what,
2015. I'll tell you this.
No, Tyler, I do not remember.
Okay, we had the Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks back-to-back. The Broncos game was Sunday Night Football, and the Seahawks game was Monday night. That was the game with, you know, the
bat out of the KJ back of the
Wright,
end zone,
batted
right?
ball. Exactly. Yep, that game.
Killed me.
Yeah, but we had back-to-back national TV games. And I think late September and early October. So the Lions got their respect that year, but like Malcolm said, they absolutely blew it.
And then they said never. They said, they said never again.
we let these Lions fans really influence us. We thought they were going to do something this year.
Right.
They said never again. They said shit. We gave y'all a shot. This is what y'all do with it? No, not again. But this I think we can earn it, man. Especially if everything goes well. You know, the season is solid. We have a solid season. I think we get our primetime games back next year.
That last week could be flexed. The last few games, sometimes they flex them too. So
it could be flexed depending on the situation. Say they're both in the hunt, and this is a meaningful game.
If there's no division, because week 18 is all division game. If there's no division on the line, because you have to play. I think they do 2 Saturday games, and the rest are Sunday. So as long as there's not two other division games on the line, yeah, that Lions-Packers game could potentially be on the line if the Lions are in a playoff hunt. Because last year, the Eagles and Cowboys got the Week 18 Saturday night game, whatever, on ESPN, and the Eagles weren't fighting for a division. They were just fighting for a playoff spot, and they still got the national TV game. So that could be flexed to a Saturday night, potentially.
Yep. That Lee, how's it going, bro?
What's up, Lee?
What's going on, y'all? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Like you were saying, Tyler, like they'll probably get flexed into that game if they're like competitive at the end of the season. My prediction is that the Lions are going to go 10-7, and they're gonna win the division in Week 18 against the Packers, and it's gonna be a snowball game. So there's gonna be snow everywhere. And Penei Sewell is going to have a William Refrigerator Perry last-second touchdown.
Ooh. Yeah, you went to straight details with this. Like, did you see this like somewhere? You dreamed this. Okay.
Exactly.
It makes sense. This is why I love talking about the Lions season in May, because we could do type of stuff.
You could dream. This is when all the dreams are there.
We could dream. We could be optimistic. We could talk about being in the division race in Week 18. I love it.
Hot weather, you know, the mind goes crazy. So it is.
Yeah,
it's
the honeymoon stage right now. Yes. We're in the honeymoon stage.
For me with this team, like the two most important things are that I'm looking forward to is, first of all, just staying healthy. Like, can we get like a healthy season out of Hockenson and Swift? And then I'm looking forward to Okuda coming back. But the main thing for me with this team is Aaron Glenn and his defense. Like, they're going to have more pressure on the quarterback, which will like take pressure off the linebackers in the secondary. And I feel like if we could get to like even being 17th or 18th in defense, like that will take this team a long way, because I'm not concerned with the offense. Played pretty well down the stretch last year when they were like, when they finally got a good wide receiver in Reynolds, right? So I'm looking forward to rushing the passer and what that does to the defense.
Yeah, I think the offense just got better because of Ben Johnson just assisting. It made the offense a lot better.
Yeah, and you get Ragnall back too. That should help. That's a big piece right there. And like with all these weapons now, like if you give Jared Goff a running game and a deep threat, like I think we could be a pretty good offense.
Yeah, man. I think it's there, man. I think they have some pieces to play with. I think they could. I mean, who knows? I mean, your prediction could be right. They could win 10 games this year. Who knows?
You said
10-7?
Yeah, 10-7. Because I was hearing Pierre earlier talking about like Green Bay's running game. But a lot of people don't talk about what Devontae Adams did for their running game. It took people out of the box. Like, I want to see what their running game looks with like Christian Watson out there. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a huge difference.
Christian Watson can stretch the field.
He's raw. He's not Devontae Adams.
I think that's a good point. I don't think people are really realizing what the Packers are without Devontae Adams. And now that could change any point. There's still some solid free agent wide receivers. They can go out and get like a Jarvis Landry. And obviously, that's not going to be Devontae Adams. But they can go out and get someone out. They can go out and get someone pretty good. But losing Devontae Adams and not replacing him, I mean, I know they got Aaron Rodgers, and that's great and all, but this could be a big issue for Green Bay on their offense side of the ball.
They got Walmart, Julio Jones, Sammy Watkins. Like, that does not scare me as much as Devontae Adams. Like, Devontae Adams was the guy that whenever he's there, like, he catches everything and you just can't stop him.
And then Christian Watson's like, you know, you picked him at, I think, what, pick 34? And, like, he could be good. But, like, again, he's coming from North Dakota State. How is he going to transition to the league? I like him as a prospect, but am I saying he's a guaranteed hit? Absolutely not. I'm not saying he's a guaranteed hit.
No, he's not. But the thing with the Packers, man, you look at, you know, the pack, like, throughout the years, man, it's kind of scary to a point, because like Aaron Rodgers just keeps finding these guys. Like, he keeps finding receivers.
You're right. No, that's what good quarterbacks do.
Went from, you know, who was the first receiver? Was it Jordy Nelson? Was that his first receiver? Was Donald Driver there when he was there? Or no?
Yeah, Greg Jennings.
Cobb.
And then once he fade away, I don't know where you have Jordy Nelson. Like, oh, where the fuck did Jordy Nelson come from? Then Jordy Nelson fades away. Then you have Devontae Adams. You're like, where did he get these receivers from?
they're like the NFC Steelers, where the Steelers just find guys in the draft.
They just find guys. Find, so like, that's why it's like
out of Central Michigan. Like, they just find these wide receivers later in the draft and develop them.
Exactly. That's why I'm kind of like, let's pump the brakes up just a little bit.
The reason why I bring this up is because this is the most vulnerable Aaron Rodgers has been in his whole career. Like, it just seems like things are, like, coming to an end. So I would not be surprised if they struggle for, like, the first half of the season.
Exactly. And I was going to say, I wish we played Green Bay Packers a lot earlier because I think there will be a lot of figuring out for them to do for the Packers. But once you see them in week 9, week 10, and week 18, I think they might have it figured out by then.
That's fair. But you play the Eagles, who, again, have a lot of new offensive pieces. The Commanders have a brand new quarterback. The Seahawks have a brand new quarterback. I mean,
I already know that. Yeah, yeah. The first half of our schedule is really nice. I said we might go. I'm really predicting us to go 3-2.
That's what I'm saying. Tyler, so you have the opportunity to win some games here.
My thing is just win the games that you're supposed to win and give us a few surprises here and there. And that, to me, gets you to like 9-10 wins.
And that's what the good teams do. That's so much easier said than done, though. If you could win the games that you're supposed to win, then yes, you absolutely should be in that spot. You should win 9 games. You should win 10 games. Because then you could expect some surprises as well with that.
Please, let's not make Zach Wilson look like Tom Brady, please.
No, I don't expect. I mean, Zach Wilson, I like Zach. Like that.
Yeah, Zach is a good quarterback.
No, but Zach's a good quarterback prospect, but I need him to throw the ball to Deshaun Elliott like at least 2 times.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's possible. Who knows, man?
You know, one thing you guys did mention was AG's defense. It has also a lot of question marks. Sort of Jerry's coming off an injury. Who's coming off an injury? You have
Whose defense?
Aaron's defense. Then you have
Aaron Glenn.
Akuda. How does Akuda look right? Is Derek Barnes going to take that jump that we're expecting? Is Levi Onwuzurike going to bounce back? Like, is he going to play well?
Yeah, but Pierre, I guess my question is, yes, those are big question marks. I'm not going to dust them off, but they were
I'm not done. Hold up. One thing, though, that I love are the edge rushers. Charles Harris, Aiden Hutchinson. You got Julian Okwara, who's our situational pass rusher right now. If Romeo comes back healthy, then you have Hutch, and then you have Charles Harris rotating in. That could be dangerous.
My point I was getting to, the DBs were not bad at the end of the season, at least your corners. I mean, you had Melifonwu, had Imani, and who was it, Nickel? A.J. Parker? Like, they were pretty good for you in December.
Even Will Harris was good.
Will Harris, Pierre's favorite player, had a few decent plays at cornerback.
He was solid at corner.
He's Malcolm's favorite player.
He's my favorite player? I'll rock it.
No, you wouldn't.
You remember?
I would rock a Charles. What's it called? A Will Harris jersey.
No, you didn't even say his name right, so that's how I know you wouldn't rock that jersey.
He called Will Harris Charles Woodson. That's one.
I was accidentally going to say Charles Harris.
No, he did look like he did look like Charles Woodson at that
Cardinals game. Lee,
he's really way too far.
He's really enjoying the weather right now.
No, Will Harris, he was solid towards the end of the year. Even Will Harris, I think our whole secondary was good.
Yeah, and Campbell called him a safety or calfty, whatever, corner and a safety.
Oh,
that's a new one.
His position is no man's land.
A calfty.
He is a football player. He's a DB.
He's a DB. Honestly, I don't know if he's a lock this year.
Does he play good special teams? That's the question. Because if he doesn't, then he's on the
bench. He could play on special teams. I don't necessarily know if he's good or not. I haven't really paid attention to that.
I think having a versatile player like that, I don't think he's getting cut.
Because that's the thing.
What do you have a player?
Yeah. If they don't play on special teams, like, they're normally out.
Well, you have to play more than – at least you got to be multiple. You have to be able to play multiple positions. Special teams or your position. But if you have a player that could play safety and DB, I think they're very valuable.
Yeah.
Definitely. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if we have another guy like that.
I have one more prediction. Malcolm Rodriguez is going to be starting by week 5.
That's possible.
That is my Amon-Ra St. Brown person this year. He's going to become a starter this year and have a really big year.
I love watching that guy.
Think I have one too. I think Chase Lucas could push AJ Parker off the roster.
I like that one more
because Chase could play inside and outside, and he's great on special teams. AJ Parker just played inside last year. He didn't play outside, and I'm not sure if he contributed special teams. I don't think he did. But I think Chase Lucas could potentially.
Who's the guy that we got from TCU? The undrafted guy. the tackle.
Oh yeah, he could push Dan Skipper. Is it Eze?
Something like that. Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I hope he beats him.
I don't know how to say his first name, but yeah, Eze.
Big Izzy.
Yeah, big fucker. Yep. Call him that too.
Remember we had snacks and Aishon, we used to call him the big fucker.
Yeah, we might need some new ones. I mean, Aleem's there. I just need a co-partner. I don't know if Pennacini is good enough for me to be calling part of that group yet.
No, not yet.
So I need to wait for that. All right, Lee. I appreciate you coming on. I love your optimistic view.
Yo, Tyler, happy belated, bro.
I appreciate it, my man. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys.
Oh, yeah, guys. So for those of you that don't know, Tyler turned 21 over the weekend.
I did.
So Tyler, no more orange juice for you. Now you can finally drink.
No, I'm still sticking to the oranges. Still stick to my roots.
Let's bring up, I believe Tink wanted to come on.
Okay. Is he still here? Yeah, he's still in here.
And if it's not him, we'll bring up Dragon Fruit Cane Smoke.
Nice username.
All right, let's bring up Dragon Fruit Cane Smoke.
What's up, man? Don't know where he is. Oh, try talking. Okay, hold up. He's going to request it. He's trying. I could tell. He unmuted himself.
We're going to try this again.
I think he went out and
he left.
Maybe he'll come back.
All right. If anyone wants to come up, just request. If not, we're going to end this thing.
I'm okay with the – I know we talked about this already, but I'm okay with the NFL not giving us more than one national TV game like outside of Thanksgiving because that's a given. I'm okay with that because they didn't deserve it. They don't deserve it right now. With the season that they had last year, they didn't deserve it.
Why does Chicago deserve three of them?
Okay, that's just blasphemy. I don't know.
Chicago has three of them?
I didn't know that. Okay, there he is. Yeah, Dragon,
yeah,
you there?
Good. It was had a connection issues, but he left, come back. What's good? I'm optimistic about the schedule, man. I think before the bye, I mean, I think 3-2 is pretty like a reasonable thing, but I could see us going 2-3. I think the biggest question is I have us losing at Minnesota, and Philly's going to be tough because I think Philly's going to have a good season. But like as the last speaker said, like, they are putting some offense and pieces together, and like it's week one, anything can happen week one. I think the biggest question mark is at New England because I think we could beat them in a tough game, but like that's just, I don't want to be too optimistic, you know.
But
3-2, yeah.
These teams right now that you're playing right now in the first 5 weeks, there's a lot of questions with, I think, all of them, including your team, obviously. But they're going to be like pretty close games. The Eagles still figuring it out. Washington's got a new quarterback. Minnesota, it's a division game. The Lions played them really well both games last year. They went 1-1. Could have arguably went 2-0. Seattle, I think that's a very, very winnable game. And I think New England is going to be – I think that one's going to be interesting. That's going to be a tough one because that's a tough environment. Mac Jones year two. It's going to be more installed to the offense. Ooh. So I think that one could be a tough one. But – Like Malcolm said, like you said, I think 3-2, I think that's very in play with these first five games. I really do think it's in play.
Yeah, it's really. It's probably going to tell, like, how we play week one against Philly. Like, if we win that game, we're going to, like, depending how we play also, like, if we keep the ball, like, rolling, like, fast, like, that will speed us until, like, just good confidence, especially with Dan Campbell. I mean, yeah, Mac Jones is the biggest question mark. Like, he can either step it up a notch or just have, like, a huge sophomore slump with everyone figuring him out. Seattle, like, yeah, they're the Seahawks, but they're coming across the country with Drew Lock playing away. Like, we should be able to beat them, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, having three home games and then your road travel is not really too bad. Going to Minnesota, you're still in the Midwest, and then going to New England, not a terrible plane ride there. So you're not doing much traveling. I believe I saw the Lions are the second to last team or the last team travel wise, like going across the country. They're pretty much playing. They're not traveling too much compared to other NFL teams, which is also a very big positive.
Yeah, this is the first year in, like, I don't even know, at least 3 or 4 years that we haven't had to travel West Coast. So,
I mean, what's the farthest trip I'm looking right now? Is it
Dallas? Dallas, yeah. And, like, that's after the bye week, too, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you have 2 weeks to prepare for that game.
The only thing is just funny, like, they do it every year, but they always make us play at Lambeau last game of the year.
They're just the Packers in general, if it's at Ford Field or Lambeau, yeah. It's usually the Packers. Seems like, at least.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, man. It's just, I know. Are they doing that? Are you think they're doing that because they want the Packers to be set up for success? Is that what you think?
No, I mean, it's just division games. I mean, we played Minnesota 2 years ago, if that means anything. But I mean, it's usually Green Bay, though.
Have we ever played the Bears Week 18? Like Week 17? Yeah.
Calvin Johnson's last game, 2015, in Soldier Field.
Oh yeah.
You would know the answer to that.
Damn, bro, your memory's unreal. Guys, Tyler has like memory of like he has like superpowers.
That's Calvin's crazy. That's Calvin's last game.
Wow. Nah.
Appreciate you coming on, Dragon.
Thanks for coming on, man.
You got anything else or anyone else? If not, we've been on for pretty much a little less than an hour. I think we're good.
All right.
Is that it? Okay. Appreciate you guys all coming on. I love the optimistic view this early on to the, you know, not I can't even call it a season yet because we're not even in training camp yet. We're still in middle of May. But, yeah, this is usually the tough part, though. After the schedule drops, this is usually the tough part of content because it's going to be pretty much dead after this with as far as NFL news. But we'll figure it out. We're going to figure out how to make content still once a week. So look forward to that. We'll update you guys on our socials on how we're going to do it all and what we post. But thank you guys so much for all the support throughout everything, man. I mean, Malcolm was telling me today the draft stuff is doing absolutely phenomenal still, and we're in the middle of May. So I just want to thank you guys all again. And with that being said, hope you guys all enjoyed. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Hope you guys are all enjoying this wonderful weather here in Michigan. And I am out. Peace.
All right, y'all, your boy Malcolm, and like Tyler said, man, if you haven't caught our draft stuff, just go back in our in your, you know, your listening platforms and just tune into any of our draft content, man. They all came out great. And yeah, man, with that being said, I'm out. Peace.